box, disguise under the guise of democracy, politics of the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous. So the ocean burn bright with waves full of poison. Genocide, wars, fall for little poison. The weapons manufactured paid for by attacks upon the bridges and the levees and the mines collapsing. All the prisons, build the capacity, citizens. And the times for the master thief, combine, conquer, steal a masterpiece. Open your eyes and realize what's happening. Time's running out to reach all potential fame. At the table, then you're probably on the menu.
We got that love, we've lived our brothers and our sisters.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO's loud and proud. Become a member during our KBOO Out Loud Fall Membership Drive, taking place now through September 20th. Your contribution goes towards grassroots, independent, radically made community radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give. That's kboo.fm/give and help us reach our $45,000 goal. Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communication Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Support for KBOO comes from our members and from the Urban League of Portland, celebrating its 80th anniversary as a local civil rights organization. Urban League PDX provides housing, education, health care, and career services to local communities. Membership information at ulpdx.org.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9:02 a.m. Next up is a Veterans Voice radio show.
I wake up tired from dreams I dread, battles raging in my head. Put on my smile, go play the part, but nothing heals a bleeding heart. I laugh on cue, I fake my light, but shadows follow day and night. They say you're strong, they say you'll heal, but they don't know how numb I feel. They don't hear the war in my mind. I'm screaming inside. No place to hide, no shelter I can find. I'm breaking down, but I don't cry. Just carry pain and wonder why. I'm lost in a world that can't see the war that's quietly killing me. I
walk through noise that feels like air, surrounded but no one's really there. Their words are light but they weigh me down, each smile another chance to drown. The silence cuts more than the sound, each step I take I break new ground. In a battlefield no one can trace, with scars that never show on my face. They don't hear the war. Speak, but they looked away, so now my truth stays locked away. If I disappear, would they care, or just fill the void with empty air? Fear with gentle hands. If I scream louder, would it make a sound? Or would I still sink without being found? They don't hear the war.
Calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, and 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ty's engineering for me. I want to say hello to Gary and Darla in Nebraska. Gary has to go to the VA today back there in Lincoln. And Kathy and Aloha and Mitty and her grandchildren. I hope Mitty's feeling better. She was feeling kind of bad. And Jim and Gresham. I played that song, I know, because this is Suicide Awareness Month. And veterans have a pretty high suicide rate. And if anybody's having trouble, they can call 988 and they'll tell you where to get help, because there is help out there for everybody. You don't have to be a veteran to call that number, 988, but there'll be like push 1, 2, or 3. I believe that's what it is, but there's no, you know, there's help out there for everybody if they really need it. I hope that people will get help when they need it. Veteran suicide rate is steadily increasing per 100,000 veterans since 2001. The rate of suicide has gone up for veterans.
I made some calls. I was trying to find out about how my sisters and brothers veterans are doing with this war on the people of Gaza and the people in the West Bank. They didn't have any new information about how veterans are dealing with that right now. I'm sure there are a lot of us in counseling at the VA centers or the outpatient centers because of what's going on in Gaza and in the West Bank. I have really heartfelt for the folks that have gone to the West Bank to help out, and the different groups go there to help and to be with the people in the West Bank right now, plus doctors and wonderful people in Gaza. The people right now in Gaza City are really, really taking it really bad, and the world just stands and does nothing. They just had another vote in the UN about a ceasefire in Gaza, and guess who vetoed it? Good old USA. They vetoed it. So I want to talk some more about the suicide rate for veterans. It has really gone up. The chances of our sister veterans committing a suicide is 92% higher than the general public of women in the general public. 92% higher, and now a lot of these suicides are being committed by firearms, which before wasn't that much. Mostly males were doing with firearms, but with the amount of firearms out there and being used, that our sisters are starting to do that now, and I wish they weren't, but that's what they're doing now. Suicide rate. I've seen statistics on it, where from 20 veterans a day up to 44 or more veterans a day, with the VA, you know, that's their statistics are, you know, they're high, but they're different than other organizations, because a lot of veterans don't go to the VA, so we don't get those records of, you know, they're not part of that the VA amount of suicide rates. But there's a lot of different things, a lot of causes of folks to do suicide, and a lot of it is PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, for the wars, these filthy wars that they've got us in. You know, they got us in Vietnam, they got us in Korea, they got us in Panama and Grenada, they got us in Iraq, Afghanistan, and what else we don't know, you know, where they've got our troops and what they're doing, like in Africa. When those folks come back, even while they're there, I tried to get, and I couldn't find it. I wanted to find out how many suicides on active duty, folks that are on active duty, and I looked all over for it, you know, and I made a few phone calls and everything, and I didn't get any answers, but I know that that happens. I know that that happens on active duty, folks, you know. And a lot of folks in the service won't go to mental health. I think it's getting better now to go to mental health while you're in the service, which is a good thing because they're under so much pressure, you know. And it's going to be even more pressure on the National Guard when they come and occupy our cities, which they're doing now. I also wanted to find out about the suicide rate of Israeli soldiers for what's happened in Israel. You know, these guys that are men and women that are going into Gaza and killing innocent people in Gaza, which they're doing. You know, they say 65,000, and a bunch of those are children and the wounded and crippled and maimed, starving to death. And a lot of the Israeli reservists are refusing to go. They're refusing to go, and they're starting to talk. But the suicide rate, they are having suicide rate in Gaza. And the reservists, like I said, the reservists, they're starting to say no, that they're not going to go. Some of them are burning their call up orders. They get these call up orders to report to go, and they're burning the call up orders, and they're getting put in. Some of them, I have this here. I want to talk about a little bit about the Israeli IDF, Israel Defense Forces. That's not very much of a defense force with what they're doing in Gaza and the West Bank. My friend's in the West Bank and right now volunteering, and I'm really worried about her. But I think hopefully she'll be okay and come back and be okay. They're talking about, in this article, Israeli soldier suicides, they're talking about why these folks are saying no, they're not going to go. They're not going to go to Gaza. They're not going to go into Palestine. And they were saying that they grew up, you know, being taught that the Palestinians, you know, are, you know, less than human. They don't need to have the same rights that the Israelis do. And then when they go there, they're seeing that they're just people, just like they are, you know, just like me and Ty and everybody we know, you know, people. They're just people. All they want to do is have a safe place to live, have food to eat, and raise their children, educate their children. Palestinians have been brutalized since 1948, as long as I've been alive. I was born in 1948. And these people have been under that such a... Every day they have to worry about it, you know, what they're going to eat, enough water to drink, medicine, to take care of medicine, to have medicine. Just natural, everything we think of here, you know, we just, you know, we have a chance to have all that, but in Gaza they don't. I have this sign. I go to Fridays at 12. I go up to Pioneer Square and be with those folks up there. And then on Sundays, I go down to Southeast 12th and Hawthorne and be with those folks. And I have two different signs. I said, this Vietnam veteran says, stop killing children in Gaza. And the other one says, this Vietnam veteran says, stop starving the children in Gaza. I think now I'm going to have to make another, that I will make another one that says, stop killing the children in the West Bank. Stop taking their homes and their farms and their livelihoods and their mothers and their fathers away from them. But... It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. They you know, I would read on Friday morning when the IDF still believed that Lieutenant Goldwyn may have been taken alive by Hamas into an attack tunnel beneath Rafah in the southern Gaza Strip. The Hannibal directive was activated to its most devastating extent, including massive artillery bombardment, airstrikes on possible escape routes. At least 40 Palestinians were killed in Rafah. Killed in Rafah. An interview with the Hebrew Press. And he praised the miracles he experienced on the battlefield. He claimed that during an early morning operation in Kuza, God sent clouds of glory to protect his troops, and they remained unseen until the house were blown up and no longer posed any danger. It was like the Lord, your God, is walking with you to save you. They don't worry about the people in those houses, the children in those houses. Okay, when asked previously if these controversies, including suicides, were a factor in Winter being passed over for promotion, he wasn't promoted, the guy that wrote this article. The suicide rate. She went on to say that preventing suicides during military service and dealing with issues of PTSD are of utmost importance to us, and a large staff is dedicated to this matters. What'd they think was going to happen? You know? What did they think that was going to happen to their soldiers? Oh, man. Israeli teams burn IDF draft orders in Tel Aviv. Refuse to serve, citing genocide, face imprisonment amid draft crisis. Dozens of Israeli teenagers in Tel Aviv have publicly burned their Israeli Defense Force draft orders in protest against the ongoing military operation in Gaza. The youth declare that their refusal to enlist, citing opposition to what they describe as genocide and apartheid. Protesters urged others to resist conscription, with some warning that many who refuse to serve may face imprisonment. The demonstrations reflect the deepening draft crisis in Israel, as families and young citizens increasingly vow to resist compulsory military service amid the conflict. The population is still behind the war, but I believe it's slowly but surely changing, that more and more folks are seeing that that's what's going on in Gaza and the West Bank is not good. Israeli woman imprisoned after burning draft card. It is important to me not only to avoid enlisting, but to make any explicit public act of refusal, not to close my eyes to the tragedy that is happening in this country, and do everything I can to raise awareness of it. There is no us and them here. There is no zero-sum game according to which any harm to the Palestinians is an achievement for Israel and vice versa. The thought that the conflict can be resolved by force, and even more force, is a fantasy that only leads to a cycle of bloodshed where everybody loses. You know, Gandhi said that. He said, an eye for an eye, an eye for an eye, and pretty soon we're all blind. The only real, the division between people, Jews and Palestinians, who understand that violence only leads to more violence, as opposed to people, Palestinians and Jews, who think only in terms of brute force. Those who currently hold power in Israel are of the second kind. They believe in winning and crushing. They believe that if they just use more force, things will work out. Israel is the strongest element of the equation. Therefore, it has the power and responsibility to provide a better future for both nations. Instead, the government promotes Jewish supremacy shamelessly, seeking an annexation which would leave millions of Palestinians without basic civil rights. That is why now, more than ever, it is important to struggle for democracy for all and not stop at the Green Line. The bluntness of the current government helps open people's eyes to the price we all pay if we continue on this path of occupation and settlement construction, a path Israel has been walking for generations. I refuse to enlist in the IDF and help Israel implement this policy. And I refuse to do it quietly. I chose caring and solidarity that is not limited to nationality, from promoting a change that will protect everyone. Me and my fellow activists of Refuser Network will not take part in the repression, and we are burning our draft orders. And for that, she went to prison. I don't know how long that they're getting people from the Refuse Network, but they are getting some time in prison. But they see the light. They see the light. You know, they see that this is not working out, that they're going to just have a continuous war. You know what we thought in Vietnam? Our government, they thought more bombs, more bodies, and then they'll, you know, get them to the peace table, which they didn't work out. Just more dead people, wounded people. Before I go into something else, you know, with what's going on right now, it's really important that we keep our radio station on the air. I listen to our station here, and I listen to KPFA in Berkeley, and they all, you know, feel like we do. Plus, you know, corporate for public broadcasting not being able to help finance, we need to finance more of ourselves, and we want to get $45,000 to keep this radio station on the air. And how could people donate? You can go to kboo.fm/give, click the red box donate in the mobile app, or you can text KBOO to 44321, or you can do like I do. KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And that's how I do it. Some of you folks have been with, you know, I have this love hate with my computer and printer at home. And I have trouble printing stuff. And that's why I can read. I learned how to do it a little better. I did. Then I tried to do some stuff this morning and it didn't. I couldn't print it out. I don't know what happened. But, you know, 80% of our funding comes from us listeners. And It says here fewer than 10% of listeners are members of KBOO. If we got everybody to donate, we'd be in pretty good shape. We're going to be in shape. We're going to stay on the air because it's important. You know, I believe in freedom of speech a lot, and I believe in due process a lot. And I'll talk about that in a little bit later. Ty, you want to get that next song ready for me, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me know when. Go ahead and play it now. Here it comes. Ty's got it going. Heat that work together, that's really important with what's going on right now, that we all stick together, because this country is going in a really bad direction right now with a few people with all the money trying to take away our right to free speech, take away our right of due process. They're already taken away due process of our brothers and sisters from other countries that come here for a better life. They throw them, you know, I carry this, the Constitution of the United States little pocket thing. I carry it with me all the time. And I started doing that when my friend Rico, who passed away, he did the same thing. He carried a copy of the Constitution. And I circled the amendments, Amendment 1, Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof bringing the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, the right of the people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. We got a lot of grievances right now with this government that we got to stick together and we got to work on this and get it back the way. Ty and I were talking a little earlier, and I said, you know, why do they even got Congress if Trump's going to just sign executive orders and no one, and to run the whole government by executive order? You know, that's why we had elections. That's why we have a Congress and we have the Senate and the House of Representatives and the Supreme Court, which are not our friend right now, the Supreme Court. You know, we're having a real problem now. They won't stand up. They won't stand up and keep this country from sliding more and more into an authoritarian government. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Those executive orders are a real problem. They had that plan for quite a while. I mean, that just didn't happen because on the first day, he was just signing these executive orders. That's not, you know, we don't have a voice in that. He just decided he was going to get rid of all this stuff that we worked so hard to get. The freedom of speech to me is really it has to be protected no matter what. And due process, no matter what. And assemblies, no matter what. Those are so important. Those are the First Amendments to the Constitution. And they're slowly but surely trying to get rid of that, to make it a crime, you know. If he doesn't like somebody's speech, the way they talk about him or whatever, he gets their show kicked off the air. You know, there's a lot of speech I don't like. But like George Carlin said, you know, if you don't like it, change the channel. Turn it down. It's got two knobs. But to take it away from all of us is just crazy. That's like when we have the big rallies here. I remember we'd be walking, you know, in the streets and doing all kinds of important things. And then the cops will say, you know, this is an illegal assembly. So they get to decide what's illegal. Not us in the streets. They get to say it. They took away our right. That was the way that was our freedom of speech. That was our right to assemblage. And they took that away. They tried to take it. Well, they did take it away. We can't let that happen in this country, you know. We cannot let that happen in this country. We have to keep our country. You know, there's a lot of things I don't like about the government. But there's a lot of good things, too. Just because we don't like some of it doesn't mean we just get rid of it. You know, we keep it. We keep it. I was thinking about with them having sending the National Guard into the cities, and I thought, man, that's really a bad thing to do. And I thought back to May 7th, I believe it was, in 1970, when Ohio National Guard was sent to Kent State. And what happened there when they killed 4 students and wounded, 15, including our friend here in Oregon, Joe Lewis. You know, I I was thinking about what's going to happen if, you know, when push really comes to shove. Already, you know, they're not supposed to be police. They're not supposed to be the police. When you start, the military starts arresting and killing civilians, that's a real problem. I know some folks that are working on that, you know, are having talks about how to deal with the military coming into the streets. You know, not all of those people are wanting to be there. And we've got to remember that. We have to be smart about it. We have to be smart about it when we talk to these folks in these uniforms in the streets. We have to think about what we're going to say and how we're going to talk to them and the specific things we're going to say to them, because they don't have to follow illegal orders. Any of us has been in the military know, you know, we vow to protect the Constitution, not a government as such. And if those orders go against the Constitution, you legally don't have to follow them. But the pressure on those, well, women, more and more women now are in the National Guard and in active duty military. But we have to really have our game together. We have to confront them. We have to do that. We have to do that. We have to tell them. We have to talk to them. We have to let them know. We have to let them know what their rights are. And we can do it. We can do it. Portland can do it, because he's already threatened to send troops here. I mean, they have ICE down and they're being confronted. We can't be afraid to confront the government. We have that right under the Constitution. So we can redress our government. And we can do it. Can the U.S. military fire on protesters? The short answer is no, generally. The U.S. military cannot fire on protesters. While there are extremely limited and specific circumstances where the Insurrection Act, and that's what Trump is using, the Insurrection Act, and he can, might be invoked, and the Posse Comitatus Act severely restricts the use of the U.S. military for domestic law enforcement purposes. This includes using lethal force against protesters. But they do it, and L.A.'s been confronting them. You know, they do when we demand our rights, they make us into illegal people in our own country. In our own country. You know, LA's protecting their rights. And even the court came out and said that they, isn't that right, Ty? Didn't the courts come out and say that he was wrong sending troops into L.A., Los Angeles? I think they did. Yeah, I think they did. The court said it was. But he did it anyway because he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's making so much money. So much money. But we have to confront those people. We have to talk to them. We have to talk to the military. You know, we have to know everything about them. I was thinking about how other countries have dealt with fascism in their country, and it brought me back to a long time ago. I did a little bit of a story on the White Rose resistance in Nazi Germany, but when the Nazis started to come into power, and these different, there was more than just the White Rose. There were other groups that were doing this too, but the White Rose were a nonviolent intellectual resistance group in Nazi Germany. And it was, there were five students and one professor at the University of Munich, and they were giving out pamphlets. They were doing graffiti on the walls, nonviolent stuff, talking about how wrong the Nazis were, what they were doing to our sister and brother, Jewish sisters and brothers, what they were doing illegally to them. And a handful of people, you know, different groups were fighting back. You know, you don't usually hear about that, but they were. They were Willie Graf, Kurt Huber, Christoph Probst, Alexander Schmorell, Hans Scholl, and Sophie Scholl. They were the ones, and there was more, but these are the ones that were captured by the Nazis for handing out leaflets and graffiti. They were speaking up against the fascist government, and it came down hard on them. It came down hard on those people. But they weren't afraid. You know, they weren't afraid to confront them. Where they didn't have any rights like we do, you know, under the First Amendment. Our rights for due process, freedom of speech, assemblage. They didn't have those rights, but they did it. They did it. They did it. They were passing them out, and the professor was helping the students. And the brothers and that sister, Scholl, Hans Scholl and Sophie Scholl, they were young. They were young when they got involved in it. And it's really interesting that some of them had been in the service. Had been in the service, and they saw what was happening, and they just couldn't let that happen. They had to be out there, you know, showing what was going on, what the Nazis were doing, and they paid a price. They paid a price. They were all captured. They were all beaten. And they were all put to the guillotine for speaking out. That's what a fascist government does. It starts slow and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. If they can take away freedom of speech from one person or one group of people, that means they can take it away from all of us. And I don't want that. I don't want that. I want us to be able to have our freedoms. It's not just for a few, it's for all of us. And they don't get to pick and choose what we can do. We pick and choose what we're going to do. And we're going to need to take care of each other too. Coming up in October, I believe it's October 18th, there's going to be a 501 march again here in Portland. And I hope everybody comes out to it and shows strength at what we in Portland believe in. what we believe in. When they sent Federals into our, after our brother was killed by the cops, George Floyd, and they sent the feds in here, we didn't like it, and we stood up, and we stood up, and I believe we can do it again. I wished, I read some of the flyers that the Red Rose put out, but I can't find it right now. I wished I could. The activities of the White Rose started in the autumn of 1942. This was a time that was particularly critical for the Nazi regimes. After initial victory in World War II, the German population became increasingly aware of the losses and damage of the war. In the summer of 1942, German army was preparing a new military campaign in the southern part of the Eastern Front to regain initiative after their earlier defeat close to Moscow. During this time, the authors of the pamphlets could neither be discovered, nor could be campaign be stopped by the Nazi authorities. Hans and Sophie Scholl were discovered and arrested while distributing leaflets at Ludwig Maximilian University in Munich. The regime reacted brutally, but the decision was, they went to court, you know, Nazis ran the court, and they were found guilty. But this decision were guided by the Nazi ideology. Thus, its actions were declared unlawful in post-war Germany. The execution of the White Rose groups, among others, is considered judicial murder today. Today, those kids, those young people. I tried to find out groups in Italy when the fascists came to power in Italy. I know that there were some, but I couldn't find them. I'm sure they're on the internet, and as I say, I have a love hate with my computer. So, but I, you know, when it's working and I know what to do, I look things up, and I could not find the groups that were fighting back against the fascists in Italy. I know there were some. I know there were some. Just like in our country, we're out there. And people have got to wake up to what's going on. What's these people in power right now are doing? What they're doing to this country, or they want to do to this country more than they are now. I know there's some people out there that say, well, we can't do anything, but we can do something about it. We can. We have, like I kept saying, we have to work with them. We have to talk to the military. We have to talk to them, you know? I know it's not going to be good because, you know, like I said, ask Joe Lewis when he got shot by the National Guard at Kent State. Ask the four students that were killed at Kent State. But we do have a right, folks. We have a right. And we don't want that taken away. You know, the Insurrection Act, a narrow exception. The Insurrection Act, a collection of statutes dating back to 1807, provides a very narrow exception to the Posse Comitatus Act. It allows the president to deploy the U.S. military domestically in cases of insurrection, rebellion, or domestic violence when a state is unable or unwilling to suppress it themselves. However, invoking the Insurrection Act is a very serious step with significant legal and political consequences, and the bar for doing so is intentionally set very high. Very high. But it doesn't seem to be that way with this guy and the cronies that hang around him, you know, that aren't at... Trump just went to England, and those people in England, you didn't see much of it on the news, but those people were standing up too. They were doing things, you know, to let Trump know that they didn't like what's going on in Gaza, in the West Bank, to innocent people. The state governor or legislature must request federal assistance. Federal law obstruction. Federal law is being obstructed and enforcement is impossible through ordinary means. Insurrection or rebellion. There is an actual insurrection or rebellion against federal authority. They come into our city. Our governor says, no, we don't need you. But they send them anyway. Our protests against the government, rebellion? It is the fear of fascist authoritarian government. So they get to say what's what. Not us. We don't get to say that. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a hard time coming, my friends. But we can do it. Portland can stand up, and the rest of the country can stand up and do it too. I'm going to end now, please keep our radio station on the air. But you can go to kboo.fm/give, click the red box, donate. Or text KBOO to 44321, or send a check or money order to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97214. And we'll be back on, I believe it's October 19th, and it'll be at 9 a.m., and there it is. Go ahead, Ty. Play us out. I love all of you.
I wake up tired from dreams I dread, battles raging in my head. Put on my smile, go play the part, but nothing heals a bleeding heart. I laugh on cue, I fake my life. But shadows follow day and night. They say you're strong, they say you'll heal. But they don't know how numb I feel. They don't hear the war in my mind. I'm screaming inside. No place to hide. No shelter I can find. I'm breaking down, but I don't cry. Just carry pain and wonder why. Lost in a world that can't see the war that's quietly killing me. I walk through noise that feels like air, surrounded but no one's really there. Their words are light but they weigh me down. Smile, another chance to drown. The silence cuts more than the sound. Each step I take, I break new ground. In a battlefield no one can trace, with scars that never show on my face. They don't hear the war. Quiet. Tried to speak, but they looked away. So now my truth stays locked away. If I disappear, would they care? Or just fill the void with empty air? Someone out there who'd understand? Would they hold my fear with gentle hands? If I scream louder, would it make a sound? Or would I still sink without being found? They don't hear the war. It's killing me.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Greg McVicar, creator of Undercurrents, and this is KBOO 90.7 Portland.
KBOO Community Radio's annual meeting and board election will be held on